So let's get going over here. Okay, so we are holding on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We were about 8 lines from the top. Okay, so the Mishnah told us a case. The Mishnah told us one case where you rented a donkey. The deal was you were going to take it in one kind of terrain, for example, in the mountains, and instead he took it in the valley. The first part of the Mishnah said you chayev if the animal dies, without specifying what the cause of death might have been. Then we have the second part of the Mishnah discuss what the cause of death was, if it's something that was more likely to happen in the mountains or more likely to happen in the valleys, where therefore, for example, if it's slipping, which is more likely to happen in the mountains, and instead you took the animal in the valley, you're not chayev because although it's even less likely it would have slipped. You made it less likely for it to happen. Okay, so we were discussing what's the difference between the two parts of the Mishnah. We gave a couple of answers, one of them being that the first part of the Mishnah may be that it died of something else other than overheating or slipping. There can be, for example, it was bitten by a snake, or we said, for example, that it died from the difference in air. Then we mentioned one possibility. Rabbi Yochanan had said that the Mishnah goes according to the Meir. The Meir holds that anybody who does differently than the Das Bala Bais is called a Gazlan. So we're trying to figure out where do we see that the Meir says that. We brought in the case that we learned in Bava Kamma about dyeing wool the wrong color, where a mayor says that you keep the wool and you have to pay the value of it, which Lechora shows you a gazlan, that's why you keep it, because you were coining it for shinui, but the difference is there was an actual shinui. So, Elohod Rameir de Magvis Purim, the line we're going to be shinui maisa, 8 lines from the top. Elohod Rameir de Magvis Purim. No, rather we can say maybe that we're talking about the opinion of Rameir when it comes to money that was collected on Purim, Matonis Levyein.
In relation to what?
To this question of whether you do, if you do differently than what the Bala Bais says, that you're called a gazlan, which would be the point in our Mishnah that we would say because the Bala Bais told you that you can take the donkey in the mountain, for example, and you took it on the valley, the ratio of the Mishnah would be saying, regardless what happened, whether the cause of death was more likely, less likely, whatever in the valley, you did differently than the Das Bala Bais, you now become a gazlan, you're now chayev in all oinsin that happened to it. So we're trying to figure out where's the source that we see Rameir said that. So let's see if it's in the case of Magevis Purim. This time here. Magevis Purim Lepurim. Money that was collected on Purim has to be used on, meaning that the Gabori Tzedakah collects from the people of the city to give out to Danim for their Purim Soda. Apparently, I guess, I mean, you know, we usually typically are more familiar with doing Matanis Lezgonim as you give to the individual Anim, like on Kingston or whatever. But apparently in those times, it was much more common that you'd give them to a central organization, like Sefer Shabbos V'Yomtev or some such thing, and then they would give it out, so they would use it to buy stuff for the Anim for their Purim Soda. Anyway, so Magevis Purim Lepurim, so the money that was collected on Purim has to be used for the Sodas Purim. The Ein Medaktiki, Magevis Ha'ir Lo'oser here, and the money that was collected in a certain city is to be used for the Aniyim of that city. The Ein Medaktiki Medover, we're not particular on it, meaning Rashi says it means we don't. The Gaborit Tzedakah shouldn't be saying, well, we don't think the Aniyim need that much for their Purim Soda, we'll use some of it for their Purim Soda, and the rest we'll use for other Tzedakah purposes, or give it to another city where they need. You can't do that.
Because the
people who gave it. Well, evidently, that's what we're going to quote soon. We're going to see soon that this is the opinion of a mayor. But Pashtus, because if you're Mishana Midas Bala Bais, you'd be called a Gazlan. The Bala Bais gave it to you to use for Purim, so you can't use it for something else.
Leftover,
we'll see. If there's leftover from the meat, then fine. But they have to...
From the
actual money. No, that's the point. As much as there is, they have to spend it on the Yom Purim soda. There's more than they make a bigger soda.
How many pieces of clay something?
Okay, I don't know. Another explanation I mentioned yesterday, Vein Medak and Medover, a number of Rishonim point out, it's also related to the famous thing called Purshit Yad Noisin, that when it comes to giving tzedakah on Purim, you don't means test. Whoever sticks out their hand, you give them, you don't check like you would do normally during the year to see if they really are an Ani or not. Anyway.
Called
the Chinyavi, sort of, that's Pesach, but yeah, okay. It's called Kol HaPurshit Yad Noisin, like. Rather what you have to do is, for example, you buy calves, you have a lot of money, fine. You buy a bunch of calves, the shechdin, you shech them, let the poor people eat them. No, with all the money. In other words, even however much money there is, you use it, you buy calves, you shech them, you feed them to the aniyim. Fine. If you have leftover meat, they couldn't eat it all on Purim. Okay, you can't let it go to waste. That you can sell the rest of the meat and let it go to the kids shel tzedakah. At that point, you did what you were supposed to with it.
And that's without the Bala Bais telling you.
The Bala Bais told you. The Bala Bais gave it to you for Purim. So the assumption is that it's meant to be used davka for Purim. Rabbi Eliezer says it is true that the money collected on Purim should be for Purim. But besides what we were talking just now, we were talking about the Tanakhama was talking about what the Gabbai Tzedakah is and isn't allowed to do. That the Gabbai Tzedakah is not allowed to say, well, let's save the rest of this money and we'll use it another time. Now Rabbi Eliezer is talking about what the Oni himself is allowed or not allowed to do. The individual Oni who receives some of it for him is not allowed to use it even to buy a new shoelace for his shoe. Unless he makes a t'nai to that effect, he's supposed to use it for his Purim soda. Because again, there's for his Purim soda. If he uses it for anything else, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless he makes a t'nai, b'maimed ansheir in the presence of the trustees of the city, the Shiva Tovayir. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov Shalom Mishum Rameir. This is Rabbi Yaakov reports in the name of Rameir that this is what the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer respectively said. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mekel, whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Mekel, he says that you don't have to be so particular about it. You could use the Magevis Purim for other purposes, or at least the poor person himself is allowed to use it for Ritzula Sandali or whatever. And the post can say, actually, the Rama says that the halacha is taka like that. The halacha is usually not like a mayor against other Tanayim. However, and we're only talking about it for a dove mu'ah, for a small thing, like he needs a shoelace or whatever, but to take the whole thing, which he was forgiven with the understanding that it's going to be for his Purim, so to use it for something else, that not.
A small amount he could.
Yeah, he could, let's say. I mean, nowadays, when you give Matanos Levyonim, it's a moot point. I mean, with these days, when we give Matanos Levyonim, whether we give it individually, whether we give it through an organization or whatever, there's no conditions placed on it. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway. So
that's the point. Does there have to be a condition? It's assumed to be
no. But in those times, at least, the assumption was that it was meant dafka for the guy's Purim soda.
Right.
Which really, I mean, Mefarshim say that was the original idea behind Matanos Levyonim anyway, is you're supposed to have simcha, mishta v'simcha v'yomtiv, but what are the poor people going to do? So you give them money. Right. But I'm saying nowadays, there's more of an understanding that you're not going to supervise what they do with it. As long, you know, they're an oni, we expect they'll use it responsibly. Anyway. Returning to, the point is that it seems your mayor is saying that, yeah, you can't do any differently. You can't use it for any other purpose, and if you do, you call it Gazlan. Again, the question is, Dilma Hasam Nami, die to Depurim Hodi Yavle? No, because there also, maybe there's a special reason. You only gave it to him having in mind that he's going to use it for Purim. Adai to Demidachrin Lo Yavle. You didn't give it to him having in mind anything else. In other words, so therefore, Rashi says, the point is, therefore, all the money is still considered to be in the chazaka of the original owner, except what's spent for the Purim soda, whatever not. Yes, you're a gazlan on, but that doesn't prove that in a case like our Mishnah, where you took the donkey, you rented the donkey, and then you go and use it, that just the fact that you took it to a different location already makes you a gazlan. You don't see that from this case over here. So no, let's try rather that it's the following statement of a mayor. If you give a dinner to a poor person for him to buy himself with it a cloak, to buy himself with it a shirt, he should not use it instead to buy a jacket. Because he's going against what the balabais told him. So there you see, that it's a matter of being that you're Mashana Midas Balabayas and therefore you're called a Gazlan. Okay. The question is why the Joma Shiny Hasam da Asu Mirshaday? Maybe there's a special reason. The problem is that if the Oni uses it for a different purpose, people are going to suspect the Balabas who gave it to him. Da Amri Inshi, people are gonna say, Oma Planya Zabnin Lelavushal Plani Anya. People are gonna say, look at this guy. He said that I'm going to buy a shirt for Ploini, the Oni, and he didn't buy for him.
Not because
of the chashad. There's a different explanation also that we're showing him say that also the mechshadei may be on the Oni himself. That like this, the Oni, everybody knew the Oni needs a shirt, and now they see he's not wearing a new shirt, and therefore they're going to think that he himself used it improperly or whatever. Okay. The same thing. The rich person said, I'm going to buy him a jacket, and he didn't buy it for him, so it's a matter of chashad. The answer is, him came listening with chashad. Well, if that's the case, then the Braisa should actually spell that out and say, the problem isn't fine, you could say that is because that leads to chashad, but at least you have to explain that, otherwise it's called Ikka Chosim and HaSefer. The main point is missing. What are you mentioning? The business that you're going against the daf of balabais. That goes to show the only difference is the only reason why it's also is because you're changing it. And well, we're saying in this according to the mayor, you actually call it gazlan on the money. Yeah. And therefore, drawing an analogy to our case with the donkey in the Mishnah, the balabas told you to take it in the mountains and you instead took it in the valleys. Yes, you can be called a gazlan and be chayav for all the oinsin, and that is why the Mishnah, that's why the first part of the Mishnah does not distinguish what the cause of death of the animal was, regardless whether it was something more likely, less likely, preventable, not preventable, or whatever. Oinah, you're chayav for whatever happened.
Well, why put gazlan instead of gneva? It's not done in public, is it?
Well, I mean, it's not gneva, and then gneva implies like you took it without the guy knowing.
Right.
Here you took it for, you know, when you borrowed it or whatever. You took it. Yeah. Okay, but that's I don't know. That's the question. Yeah. Okay. Next, the Mishnah talked about a case where you rented a donkey and it didn't die, but it became handicapped. One of the cases we said was the Hivrika. So then we say that you're able to say the owner of the donkey can say tough luck, you gotta stick with it. I'm not responsible to get you a different donkey.
If it's a shomer or
not a shomer. You rented it from him to take the donkey someplace to transport goods or whatever. Now you're gonna have to go slower because the animal is hivrika. We're gonna explain now what that means. Nevertheless, it doesn't prevent you from using the animal altogether. It just means you're gonna have to go more slowly, carefully. You're gonna have to lead it more carefully. Tough luck. Okay, my vivrika. Hocha tagimu nehurisa. Here in Babel, they explain that the word vivrika means that the animal became that the animal got cataracts. Now, how does vivrika come to mean that? Because the shodash of the word vivrika is barak, which means lightning, a flash. So therefore, al derech b'loshon sagi nahar, the same way as the word sagi nahar itself, a blind person is called sagi nahar, the euphemism that he has a lot of light because he has none at all.
Sagi
the same
nahar means literally.
Literally means a lot of light. Literally means a lot of light.
A lot.
Sagi means a lot. Yeah. But so the same thing. The horisa means that the animal is partially blind from cataracts.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's why he's blind. Like Helen Matei.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Rava Amar Avzekes. Rava says a different explanation that the Ivrika means that the animal developed worms in its feet. So how does the Ivrika come to mean that? Because you find the Shodesh Barak again, which means lightning. You find a Shodesh similar to in Tanakh Bozok, Bachayis Lots of a Shodesh Kamaria Bozok. So Resh and Zayin sometimes can interchange. So therefore, this Avzekes can be called the Ivrika. The Bartanura on the Mishnah, by the way, brings an interesting possibility that maybe according to the first explanation, maybe the Girsa shouldn't be Behivrika, but rather Behivdika, Meloshin Dukin Shaba'ayin, which means a cataract. Okay, anyway. So, since we're talking about this Avzekis, the Gemara digresses a second to tell us a story. Hahu da'amalahu Avzekis b'milta d'malka.
What's the modern term for the cataract in Hebrew?
I don't remember. Anyway.
The modern term for
cataract in Hebrew? I don't know. Okay. Hahu da'amalahu Avzekis b'milta d'malka. One time somebody says to the king or to his ministers or whatever, there's avzekes, there are worms or moths or whatever who are eating the king's clothes. Omrulay b'mai. So they asked him, which clothes was it? B'tlei kesef or b'tlei dahav? Was it in the silver ones or the gold ones? Now, by silver or gold, Rashi says silver means the ones made out of linen. Linen in those days usually was kept white. They didn't dye it because they didn't really have the technology to make it color fast. Wool was usually dyed. So silver means the linen ones, which are silvery white, and gold means the woolen ones, which are dyed reddish, which is a color similar
to
gold.
Not real gold or silver.
Not real gold or silver. Coins are actually. Wait, I'll tell you in a second. There's other explanations. Okay. Ikka da'amdi b'tzlei kesef om v'kafura. One version of the rest of the story is that he answered them it was in the silver, meaning the linen ones, and then they killed him because in that case, then he's stam hacking them a chaynik. Moths don't eat linen. So therefore, he's stam making fun or whatever. Ikka da'amdi b'tzlei dahav om. The other version is they told them it was in the gold, meaning the woolen garments for shavkua, and then they left him alone because, yes, then in that case,
moths eat gold.
Moths eat wool.
It was the gold that was in the
gold, not gold. They're calling it gold in a borrowed sense, in the sense wool that is dyed a reddish gold color.
And the other one, silver.
The other one, silver, would mean linen, which moth stone attack linen.
Why silver is linen?
Because it's silvery white, whatever, like linen is a whitish color. Yeah. Okay, there's a lot of other explanations. First of all, Tosfos mentions over here a possibility that maybe milsa doesn't mean clothes, but rather mules. Milsa would actually be the same word as the word mules in English, in which case it's directly related. We just talked about worms that attack animals' feet, and here would be the same kind of thing. According to that, Maharam Sheikh says in that case, why would they have killed him if he said it was in the white ones? Would have to silver, meaning white, again, would have to be evidently the white ones are known to not be attacked by these kinds of worms. Okay, there's a lot of other explanations, including another one that we are literally talking about gold or silver. He said that he saw that the gold or the silver was getting corroded. So if he says, according to that version, according to that understanding, I think it's from the Aruch, he was at this person, it wasn't just some person off the street, this was the person who was responsible for guarding the clothes. So if it was the silver ones that are tarnishing, then it's his fault. He needs to take precautions, and that silver will tarnish. Gold doesn't usually, so if it did, then they left him alone because, okay, what could he do? It's not normal. There must have obviously been some very unusual situation over there to cause the gold to tarnish like that.
Okay. He's scary to be one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Then we said Oshanasis Angaria. We said in the mission another case, if the animal was taken as Angaria, which is that it's requisitioned by government officials, they take the animal and use it to carry a burden from point A to point B for a little while. So then we say, in that case also, the owner of the animal can say, it's your tough luck, I'm not obligated to get you another animal. And in fact, there are some of the Mephoshim who say that not only that, the Socher, Reuven rented the animal to Shimon for X amount of time, for a week, let's say. During that week, the government, as he's going with the animal, the government comes and says, we need that animal to transport this burden. You take off your stuff, carry it for a little while, we have our stuff that has to be carried from point A to point B, and then, yeah. So we're saying the original owner is not responsible to get him another donkey for the time being. Rashi says that what it is the owner can say, look, okay, you need to transport the rest of your stuff, fine, go hire another donkey, follow these guys, and eventually they'll give you back this one, and then you can return the donkey the second donkey that you rented. Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos doesn't like that because why should he make him responsible to rent a whole other animal? Let's learn a couple of lines of Gemara, and we'll see how Tosfos explains the situation. But anyway, yeah, okay.
It's a no-ness in a way.
But the point is not whether the socher is chayev. The animal is going to come back. The question is whether the maskir, whether the owner of the animal, is responsible to get him another animal. No, because he can say it was your mazel. So, Omer Rav, lo shonu ela b'angaria chezeres. That only applies if the angaria is going to be returned. Avav angaria she'en chezeres, but if it's being taken, if it's requisitioned by the government and is never going to be returned, then the maskir, in fact, does have to arrange another donkey for him, because then that's the equivalent of it dying or getting, if it was confiscated, it's never coming back. If it's chazeres, okay, he's going to be delayed, but fine, just because he's delayed doesn't require the other guy to provide him another donkey. No, they'll tell you, we need this just to get to point B, or we're taking this, and that's it, you're not getting it back. There are, by the way, Mephoshim, who talk about the possibility that maybe even the renter would be chayev for the extra amount of time that, let's say they're taking the animal for 2 days. So he originally rented the animal, let's say, for a week. Now it turns out, including the 2 days that it's going to be taken, it's going to be 9 days before he gets it back to the guy. Some of the Mephoshim say he would, in fact, have to pay rental for the whole 9 days. Okay.
What about in a case of war? When it's expected?
Doesn't matter. Okay. Where Shmuel says it doesn't matter whether the animal is going to be returned or not. It depends on a different thing. In b'derech halicha nitla, was the animal taken and going in the same... This is how Rashi learns it. We'll see in a second. Tosfos learns differently. If it was going in the same direction that you were going originally, then the original owner can say that it's your tough luck. Again, you rent another animal. So in other words, like this, you're going from here eastward. On your way, as you're walking east, they take it and they say, we need it to go. We need it to go in that in that direction anyway. So you unload your stuff. We're going to load our government equipment on there or whatever and transport it along. You, as far as your stuff, you go ahead and rent another donkey and follow up. And then eventually, once we get the equipment over there, we'll unload it and you can have your donkey back. Then he can say, Arei Shalach Lefanecha. You're going in the same direction anyway. Ah, you're going to have the extra expense of renting another donkey? Not my problem.
Your mazel is going after
us. Yes. Yes. But if it was not in the direction that you're going, then the maskir is responsible to give him another donkey. That's Rashi. Tosfos, like I say, has a problem with that, because why should we say just because you're mazel that you're going to have to be out the extra money to rent another donkey?
Right.
So therefore, Tosfos prefers the explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel that derech halicha, not derech halicha, means something else. Derech halicha means that the government officials are only going around and requisitioning animals if they find them on the road. So therefore, for now, the maskir has a claim to the socher saying like this: you can't say that's my mazel. If the animal had been back at home with me, back in the stable, it wouldn't have been taken in the first place. Therefore, in a way, the fact that you rented it put it in a situation where it can be taken. Therefore, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, go ahead and deal with it. As opposed to if they're actually going around searching around in the houses and whatnot, it's the other way around. Then the social can say, well, regardless whether I rented it or not, either way, that animal was going to be a goner, and therefore you have to get me another one. Okay. The Gemara says, Bishleim l'Rav l'Kasha. Okay, sorry. Mace, the Gemara says, okay, I have a contradiction. Braisa says as follows: if you rent a donkey and it was Hivrika, as we discussed before, it became blind or not semi-blind or feet or whatever, or it went crazy. Either way, the owner can tell him Harei Shalach Lefanecha, because again, even if it went crazy, fine, you can still use it to carry burdens. You just have to be more careful in how you've been. And you know, we're not talking about, when we say crazy, I don't think we mean like rabid or whatever, it could bite you and give you rabies. And we're just talking about whatever. Anyway,
think a bit of mush.
Yeah, whatever. Mesa Oshinasa Sangaria. On the other hand, if the animal died or it was taken as Angaria, Chayv Lahamid Lo Chamur, then the owner is responsible to get you another donkey. So, in other words, so we see the Mishnah said that if Nas is Angaria, then you can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. The Braisa is saying Angaria, then you have to get him another one. So it's a stira. Bishleim l'Rav l'Kasha. So according to Rav, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'Angaria Chazeres, kan b'Angaria Sheinah Chazeres. Because one, the Mishnah is talking about where it's Angaria Chazeres, therefore Harei Shalach Lefanecha. The Braisa is talking about he's never going to get it back, therefore he has to get him another one. El l'Shmuel Kasha. But according to Shmuel, that's not the distinction. Fine, so you might answer, okay, so Shmuel also made a distinction whether it was Derech Halicha or not, according to Rashi or Tosfos. So therefore, you could say the Mishnah and the Braisa are doing the same thing. No, but you have to look at the Sefer of that Braisa continues. Reb Shimon Elazar, if it was taken in the same direction you're going according to Rashi, or only the ones on the road according to Tosfos, then and if not, then you have to get him another one. Evidently, in other words, according to the Tanakhama, there's no difference between Derech Halicha and not. So the Tanakhama of our Braisa, because only Rav Shimon Elazar is making that distinction. So the Tanakhama of our Braisa and the Tana of our Stam Mishnah are contradicting each other. So unless we can find that there's different opinions, then how do we understand that according to Shmuel? And we would rather say, Tosfos points out, we would rather say that Shmuel agrees with the Tanakhama. Usually the halacha would be like the Rabbim against the Yachim. However, Amalach Shmuel, no, Shmuel can answer, Lav mi ikar Reb Shimon Elazar dekoy kavasi. Okay, but after all, you do have Reb Shimon Elazar who makes that exact distinction that I'm making, Derech Halicha or not. Fine, I'm not Dami Reb Shimon Elazar. Fine, I hold like Reb Shimon Elazar against the Rabbi. But at least you can't contradict me from the Mishnah versus the Braisa. Iboy Seima, or another possibility, Kula Reb Shimon Elazar. That, you could say, the entire Braisa is according to Reb Shimon Elazar. It's not two different opinions. It's rather the second part is clarifying the first part. The Braisa is missing words, and then the whole Braisa should go like this. When is this talking about that? If not, Sangaria, he has to get him another donkey. If it was taken, a different direction, or even searching around in the houses or whatever. As our Mishnah says, Divrei Rav Shimon Elazar, this is the part that's missing from the Braisa. So these are the words of Rav Shimon Elazar. Shehoya Rav Shimon Elazar Oimer, because in fact Rav Shimon Elazar made that exact distinction. Im b'derech chibucha nitla oimer l'harish alachanacha, v'im loy chayv l'amed loy chamoracha. Chayv l'amed loy chamor. So there you go. The whole Braisa can be according to Rav Shimon Elazar, and therefore fine. So the Mishnah is not making that distinction. The Mishnah just says, the Braisa is clarifying, Rav Shimon Elazar is explaining, that depends whether it's Derech Halicha or not, which would be the distinction that Shmuel is making. Problem is, how could you say that this Braisa goes according to Rav Shimon Elazar? But the first part of the Braisa says as follows. We said that if the animal was only partially disabled, but not completely, then but we find Rav Shimon Elazar saying differently. If you rent a donkey to ride on it, and it became partially disabled, so the Braisa was saying, you can always say, here we have another Braisa where Rav Shimon Elazar says that no, you have to exchange it. So Rav Barav Huna says, as a matter of fact, that's the key difference. The key difference is that in this last Braisa, you want to ride it. The difference is, previously we were talking about you just using the animal to carry packages. Fine. It's half blind. If it's got damaged feet or whatever, fine. It just means in the shots or whatever, fine. You'll have to just go slower. You'll have to make sure to keep it on the path properly. But fine, it's not that big a deal. You can, as opposed to if you ride it, if the animal is disabled, it may knock you off a bridge. It may fall into a pit or whatever. That's dangerous. You can't ride on a disabled animal. So therefore, that's different. Amar Papa and Rav Papa in fact says, "Oklayz chukat kelok of alei adami." As a matter of fact, it's not only riding on it. The same din would apply, the same distinction would apply if you're going to be using it to carry glassware. Same idea, because it's delicate stuff, it can very easily break. Therefore, if the animal is disabled, you, the socher, have the ability to tell the owner of the animal, I can't use this for this purpose. I can't use an animal that's half blind or whatever to carry glassware. It'll break. Yeah, it'll fall. Yeah, exactly. So therefore, then Taka, the guy, will be responsible to get you another donkey. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hasecher sachamur luka v'leher. If a person rents a donkey,
so the halacha is like
Rav Shimon Elazar. The halacha is like Shmuel. First of all, that when it comes to Angaria, it doesn't matter whether it's chizeres or not. Depends whether it was derech halicha or not. So far as this last thing, yeah. Basically, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. Yeah, because we're saying that Shmuel agrees with him that. It depends really. If it's lurka v'aleha, if it's to ride the animal or kleis chokas or whatever, then you're entitled to have a healthy animal. And if it's not, then you're entitled to get it replaced. Right. Otherwise you're not. Otherwise, like the Mishnah said, oimer harei shalacha panacha. So actually, no, it's not really like a criminal law, except in that case of lurka v'aleha. Yeah. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav. If a person rents a donkey to ride on it, and it died halfway through the trip, then what the renter has to do is he has to pay the amount that you pay for half the way. And all he has, the only thing he can have against him is tarumas. He can have a valid reason for complaint. You rented me an animal that was weak and that couldn't survive the trip. But he doesn't have the ability to say you're obligated to get me another donkey.
How does tarumas help him?
We talked at the beginning of the parak that first of all it means it's kind of in a moral sense. Really, you're not usually supposed to have tarumas against another yid. So when halacha tells you have a valid reason for tarumas, it means you have a valid thing to hold against him. He has to ask you mechila for one thing. Second of all, something
enforceable.
We talked about at the beginning of the parak. We talked about what the shach says, that there can be cases where actually if you have tarumas, then later on, if a new arrangement is made or whatever, if it was a situation where you have terumas, then you're entitled to ask for better conditions than you might have otherwise, because you had terumas anyway.
With impossibility?
So that's what we're saying, that the terumas gives you the ability to now say in Beis Din, to now have Beis Din tell the guy then you owe him, you know, you owe him for that, for the fact that previously he had a terumas over you in relation to this. So we have to ask Hechidami, what's the case of it here? Idishchiach la'aguri, if the renter is easily going to be able to find another animal to rent, tarumas maya vidde, and why does he even have tarumas? Now, at the beginning of the Perek, we talk about tarumas, for example, when workers quit and you have the bother of hiring new ones, then you have a reason for tarumas. But that was they quit voluntarily. Here, the animal died. It's not like the master could control it. So if you can easily find another one, then you have no valid reason even for tarumas against him.
Who's supposed to find the other one?
The renter. The renter will go and find. And he'll be paying for half the journey so far. Now he has to complete his journey, so therefore he will go find another local person to rent him a donkey and pay him for the other half of the trip and finish up. So it's a bit of a bother to have to find a new person to rent a donkey from, but not enough to rise to the level of taruma season. And if he can't find another one to rent, agra boila mesavle. Should he have to give him the half of the rental fee that he should have? Why? Now he's stuck there in the middle of nowhere with no other donkey to rent. Why should he have to pay for anything? That's going to be the answer. The oilam de leshchiach laguri. That's exactly the answer. We are talking about a case where there is no other one easily available to rent. However, the owner of the animal, of the original animal, can tell him, look, after all, if you had wanted to come to this point, lav agra bois lemesa, wouldn't you have had to pay to get here?
To get here.
Yeah, fine, but that's the point. In other words, you would have had to pay the whole trip would have cost you 100. You did half the trip, so therefore 50. Now, Tosfos actually says that strictly speaking, we're not actually what we're talking about over here. When Tosfos explains, when we say lo shchiach la'aguri, it doesn't actually mean there's no other donkey available to rent at all. Because if so, yeah, you're stranded there in the middle of nowhere. That's not a benefit for you. We're talking about you will find another one, but it's going to cost a little bit extra. So therefore, what it is, so we would say like this, let's say. You rented the original donkey for 100, and it was supposed to be for the entire trip. It died halfway through the trip. So far, then, we're saying you owe the guy, the original owner of the donkey, 50. Now you need to complete the trip. So you're looking around for another one to rent for $50 to finish the trip, and you find that the cheapest you can find is $60 or $70, let's say. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and rent it. You're not entitled to say, well, look, I'm going to have to spend $60, therefore, in order that I shouldn't have to be out the extra $10, I'm going to deduct $10 from yours and pay you only $40 for the original owner. You can't say that because it was an onus, after all. He didn't make the animal die, as opposed to earlier in the as opposed to at the beginning of the paddock where the workers quit voluntarily.
What do you do with the dead animal?
The dead animal we're going to talk about soon. You can use it to, we're talking about in the mission, actually, Matthew mentioned. It belongs to the maskir. So the maskir, in the cases where the maskir is responsible to get him another animal, which we're going to talk about now, then what he can do is he can actually sell it. He can sell the dead animal and use the money to rent a new one for him. Tosfos gives another answer as well. Let's say we're not just talking about you were stam riding on the donkey. Usually in those days, you rode on a donkey someplace. If it was just you had to get from point A to point B, you usually walk. If you have a donkey, it's usually because you have packages that you want to sell, for example. Well, in this case, let's say this guy managed to find buyers for his merchandise over here. So therefore, he gains from the fact that he went half the trip, and therefore he has to pay half the... Okay, the Gemara says, hey, chidami, fine, but what's the scenario over here where we're saying that all you have is tarumas, where the owner of the donkey is not obligated to get you another one? If the original rental agreement was, I'm going to rent you a donkey, well, then he should be responsible to get him another donkey. You said you're going to rent me a donkey for a week's trip. Well, for the full trip. Well, now the donkey is dead, so now you have to get me another one. Yeah. And if it's that he says that I'm renting you this donkey, Well, this donkey not. Well, im yesh b'damel litach yikach. Well, if the dead animal is, if there's enough value in it to be able to sell and go and rent some other and rent some other donkey, then you have to do that. So what are we talking about? A case where you're not responsible to. L'chore, either way, you're responsible to. Now, obviously, even he said chamur zeh, but still, the actual chamur itself is meshubad to him. So now the chamur is dead. Fine, the value of it, the value of the carcass is still something that can be used to rent another animal to complete the trip. So either way, it sounds. So now, of course, the Gemara could have answered that there's not. Now, the Gemara could answer as the Gemara will answer right now. Fine, but we're talking about, let's say, not to rent, sorry. The original assumption was if there's enough money, if the carcass is worth enough to buy another animal, it may be a much lower quality animal. But let's say the original one might have been a big sturdy animal. The new one will be some kind of chamur kosher, who Rashi says, some kind of weak animal, but at least it's a donkey. And the answer is, okay, the answer is, you don't have, the carcass is not even worth enough to buy any, there's no kind of donkey you'd be able to buy at that price.
But then donkey would not replace a live donkey.
Right. Basically. Okay, the problem is, im yesh b'demel lisker yisker, fine. But still, okay, the carcass may not be enough to be able to buy another animal, it should be enough to rent another one. Why don't we obligate, even if it was chamurzeh, why don't we obligate your owner to go and take the carcass and sell it and use the money to rent another donkey for this guy to finish the trip, rather than just telling him you pay me half the thing and now you're stranded here in tough luck. The answer is Rav Lataymei. Rav goes according to his shitta. The Amar Rav Loimar Chalin and Karina. Rav says we do not want to put the guy in a situation where the whole Karen is going to be gone. Where you have the case where the Mishnah talked about that the case where the Mishnah said that if the animal died or whatever, you have to get him another donkey is, let's say, that, okay, so you're going to go and buy another donkey. You're going to take the carcass, which is worth 50, let's say. You'll add another 30 to make 80, and 80 is enough to buy another donkey. You'll do that. And then you'll rent out that new donkey to the guy, and he'll do his trip, and that's that. Here, where we're talking about, where the only possible thing is, we're saying that the carcass is not worth enough to buy a new animal with, and you're going to have to only just use it to rent another animal, means what happens at the end of the rental term? The owner of the original donkey is going to be left with nothing. His original donkey is gone, and the money that he could have gotten for it, he had to use to rent another animal. Rav says you don't make him do that.
He's giving back the...
There has to be something left for him at the end. There has to be something left for him at the end. So again, in the case where he's able to sell the carcass and get a new animal, which he will rent out, and then once the rental is finished, he'll have that, good, that you should do. But if the only situation is going to be that the only thing that he can do with that money is to rent another animal,
And then
he's not going to have anything left afterwards because the rental will be returned to the guy he rented it from, and then Rav says you can't make him do that.
So you have to give back.
So in that case, that is the case where the maskir can say, fine, okay, you did half the trip,
right.
Pay me for half the trip, and that's that. Afterwards, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Give me my half.
What happens after that is none of my concern yet, because otherwise it would be kal yikar. By the way,
if it's let's say 70%, if he gets from the dead animal 70% of the live animal.
Well, again, is it something? Would he be able to find another? The key question is: would he be able to find? Another donkey that he could buy at this price? In other words, what you could have. Before we get into this, by the way, an interesting side thing, the Rambam understands our Gemara to be saying that actually the difference when you would have to give him another donkey versus when you could just say you'll pay me the half and that's it is actually dependent on a different factor, whether you rented the donkey in order to ride on it or not. Now, how do you get that from our Gemara? The Mefarshim have a bit of a time seeing where exactly the Rambam gets that from our Gemara. The Smeh talks about it. So the Smeh talks about it now in Shulchan Aruch, and he says that's actually that Rambam would understand. That is why the case began. Where you rented the donkey in order to ride on it. where you rent, where you rented it to ride on it, then we would say that you're not obligated to get him another one. As opposed to if he rented the donkey in order to carry packages on it, then you would be regardless. That's how that I'm understanding the distinction. Now, where do we see this idea that Rav says, Loi Machalin in Karna? We say as follows. If a person rents a donkey and it died halfway through the trip, if the value of the dead animal is enough to buy a new animal, then he has to do that. You make the owner do that, spend the money on buying a new animal and rent it to him for the rest. Lisker, al yisker, but if the money is only enough to rent a new animal, you don't make him do that because Kalya Karna.
Why don't you have to give the money back and let the owner buy a new?
No, that's the thing. That's what we're saying. The socher has to pay for the half trip so far.
Right.
Now what the maskir has is he has the money for half the trip, $50 for the trip. Right. He has, let's say, $20. The carcass is worth $20. Let's say. Fine, but at that point, $20 is not enough to buy a new donkey. The cheapest you'll find them is, let's say, $40 or $50 or whatever. Then that's it. He's out. He's out of there. The socher can figure out on his own what he's going to do in order to get another donkey. Well, Shmuel ama'af lisko yisko, and Shmuel says no. Even if it's a matter of all there is available to rent, he's still obligated to rent. So what's the machlokas? Is exactly that point. Rav sama loy machalin and karna, or Shmuel sama machalin and karna. Rav holds that we will never put the maskir in a situation where the keren is gone. You always want to make sure the maskir is going to have something, is going to have an animal of some kind left at the end of the rental period. And Shmuel says we don't worry about that.
We worry about it.
We don't worry about that. We worry about as long as there is a carcass, as long as there is money that can be used from it to rent another animal, then you're responsible to do that. Basically, so I have a contradiction to this idea that we're saying that Rav is saying loy machalin and karna. We learn a case later on in the Masechta of suppose that you arrange. Now we talked previously in Ezer Neshach about the concept of a mashkanta. We have a case where Reuven borrows money from Shimon. He takes some property of his and he says, Shimon, you'll be entitled to use this property for X amount of time. And what you do with the payrus, we talked about in the previous payrus, how you arrange things in order to avoid issues of ribis. We had we talked about a few different kinds of mashkantas over there. One kind which we said was perfectly mutter was called a mashkanta de sura, where we say that at the end of the term, the loan is considered completely paid off, regardless whether you got a lot or a little payrus out of it. So let's say you did a mashkanta like that using a tree. Reuven is borrowing money from Shimon. He doesn't have any actual land, but he has a tree. So he takes the tree and he makes it a mashkanta to Shimon. You will be entitled to use use this tree and it's paid us for the next 3 or whatever it is years, and at the end of that period the loan is considered paid off. What happens? Yavish Ilanay Niksas, what happens if during that time the tree dries up or gets chopped down? Shnei Masurinbay. Now both of them are also to use the wood. Because one way or the other, it partially belongs to the malva, it partially belongs to the loiva, so it's kind of off limits to both of them. Kesed yasa, what should you do in order to avoid that? You lock up the karka v'oichol peiros. What you do is you take the wood, you sell it, you use it to buy a piece of karka, and the mashkanta basically gets transferred to that karka.
How can a tree would be enough to buy karka?
I don't know. It's a large tree, I guess. We're talking about. So there's enough value in the wood, and if not, you buy an inch or two. I don't know. Whatever you buy whatever karka it is that you're able to buy with that amount of money, and then the malva will be able to eat the payrus of it just like the original mashkanta. Now let's consider what happens over here. Kivin deki mati yovel. Now what happens when yovel comes?
Mati
means when it comes. The land, or in this case, the tree, is not the tree. Sorry, the land that was. But what are we saying? We're taking the wood of the tree. We're using it to buy karka, which then will continue for the rest of the mashkanta, the rest of the life of the mashkanta. The problem is, what if yovel happens during that time? Kahadra ara lamara. In that case, that land that they bought with that money is going to return to its original owner, because that's what happens in yovel. But kakalia karna. And therefore, what's going to happen now? The loiva is left with nothing now. Like this, the arrangement should have been originally that he's making this tree a mashkanta, and in 3 or 5 or 10 or whatever it is years, he'll get it back. Like this, Now, because the tree dried up or whatever, and you're using it to buy karka, and you're using the money to buy karka, the karka is not going to stay with him forever. It's going to stay with him only until yovel. Eventually, there's no keren left. He has no tree and no karka. And yet, you're making him sell the tree, sell the wood from the tree, and use it to buy karka. So we see it. We're not care. We don't care about kalya karka. The answer is hoch ma'askin and dezabed le shit and shnit. No, but you know what the case can be talking about? We're when you bought the property, you bought it for 60 years. Where 60 years is much more, is much more than, well, it's 10 years more than Yovel, but the point is also, so therefore Yovel doesn't cancel it, as we're going to say now. The point is it's also much, the point, never mind a prusbel. A prusbel is about canceling debts anyway, no. You will need a prusbel to not cancel the debt, that's a different matter, but no. 60 years is more than the Yovel, but we're going to say in a second, Yovel doesn't cancel such a sale. But also, the point is, 60 years is much longer than the life of the Mashkanta. The Mashkanta is maybe 5, 10, whatever it is, years. So at the end of it, the Loiver is going to get back this character and hold on to it until the 60 years are over, and then find Kalya Kana. But that's long after the Mashkanta, so we're not worried about it. How do we know that if you sell property for 60 years or more, that it doesn't go back in Yovel? The pasuk says, the Torah says, describing what the reason behind Yovel is, the land should not be sold permanently. So the land belongs to the Eivishter, and you should realize that you're kind of like tenants on it. So, So the implication of the pasuk is that Yovel is needed for a case where if it were not for Yovel, the sale would be a permanent one. Yovel comes and makes it non-permanent. It makes it that there's a deadline of 49 or 50 years. Yotzazu, as opposed to a case where you sold it for 60 years, sha'afafi she'en shem Yovel, and in its method, even without Yovel, it would still have an expiration date. 60 years. Therefore Yovel is not needed to cancel it, because anyway, eventually it will expire and return to the original owner.
Only if you didn't put a time limit.
No, but you're saying you put a time limit of 60 years. If you didn't put a time limit, then it goes back in Yovel. That's what we're saying. Okay. Wow. Problem is, soif, v'chimotu shitin shnin kahadra avalamara. Fine, okay. But nevertheless, eventually 60 years do pass, because kal yakana, and then at that point the keren is gone. Before we said that, okay, fine, the mashkanta was long since over, now you have the use of the keren all the rest of the years, but the fact is it doesn't stay by you permanently. We want something where there should be the ability that it'll be able to stay by you permanently, or for the life of the actual object, which here you don't have that. Ella, no, you have to answer differently. You know what this case that we're talking about, again, the case of the tree for the mashkanta or whatever, where we're saying you use it to buy karka, Rav would have to say that din applies only when yovel is not in effect.
What do you mean yovel is not in effect?
Yovel is not in effect when not all the shvatim, when not most of the shvatim are living in Eretz Yisrael. So ever since the 10 shvatim were taken into Golos by Sancheiriv, from then on there was no more yovel midoraisa anyway, except for one time during Yeshio's time, 30-odd years before the Churban, because most of them came back. But basically, for the last 25 or so hundred years, there hasn't been Yovel Midoraisa. That's Bizman Shein. It'll come back. Yeah, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, that Ma'oris and Shmit and Yovelos. Yeah, one of the features of Mashiach's time. Because in Mashiach times, everybody will wait till we get to the end of Sanhedrin, where we talk about over there, Aseret HaShvat, Asidin Lachter, Ein Asidin Lachter. Wait, we'll get to it in Perek Chelek. Yeah, well, that's... Well, the Mashiach will come first, and then you'll find that for yourself. But we will learn about it in Perek Chelek in due time. Okay, in another year's time, that's the Shem. Hold on. Okay. So, Bizman She'ena Yovel Noya, yes, when you sell a field, it's a permanent sale. There's no Yovel to cancel it. Therefore, there's no Kalya Karana in that case. Yes, Rav would have to agree, according to that if you're talking Bizman Shal Yovel Noya, you can't do this scenario of taking the wood and using it to buy karka. You're going to have to find some other way. Okay. The Gemara says, Hachanami Mistabra. Yeah, in fact, it seems logical to say that we're talking about that the din, that this din is talking about a time when Yovel is not in effect. Because if you were going to say that it applies even when the yovel is in effect, and that the Mishnah, the Braisa rather, would be saying that it's no problem. You can be Kalya Karna. You can allow the whole Karen to go away from the Loiva. then what do you need this whole elaborate thing of saying that you're going to buy karka and use it for payers, etc.? Why don't we just say, let the malva take the wood and use it for firewood, and that's that. He's used up the keren just as well that way. The fact that we're saying that you have to buy karka implies that you have to have some way of preserving something for the loiva after the fact. Says, however, imishem halay kasha. No, because if that's all of your objection, then that's not really much of a kasha. Zimnin de shomer shnei mashkantim ikame yovel. Because before we were talking about that, we were assuming what happens if yovel comes doing the mashkanta, but it could just as well be the other way around. Mashkanta could be over, could expire a few years before yovel, and then. Inami de matule zuzi, or you can have, for example, the loiva manages to get some money together, or partikla abu chamashin mikami yovel, and he buys it back. He redeems the mashkanta 4 or 5 years before yovel. The point is, in other words, in those cases, now if we would have said that you're supposed to take the wood and just give it to the malva and let him burn it for firewood, at that point there's nothing left to give back to the loiva. Whereas at least if we say that you're able to buy karka. Yes, it's true. Comes yovel, the karka is going to go away from the loiva. But at least there is the possibility that during the years before yovel, he'll have a chance to enjoy that karka. It won't be talya karna right away. There'll still be something left for him there.
And that should be
so okay. maybe basically we would say machalin and karna. Maybe we would say that fine. The Mishnah does not have a problem with allowing the whole karen to be used up. However, we want at least for there to be a possibility that after the tree dried up or whatever, we want to have a possibility that the loiva will be able to get some benefit out of it. Whereas if you give the wood to the malva and he burns it, you won't even have that thing. Turn it up on. The halacha actually is like Shmuel. The halacha is like Shmuel, that regardless, we're not worried about Kalia Kana at all. When it comes to the donkey, whether there's enough money to buy another donkey or to rent one, you're still responsible to. Again, according to the Rambam, only in certain cases.
We don't
worry about the Karen. We don't worry about the Karen. You're responsible to make sure If a person rents a ship, and it sinks halfway through the trip.
But Sfina, you rent together with the owner?
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about on Ahmed Bey's, is that usually when you rent a Sfina, the owner comes along with it in order to manage it, whatever, yeah, to steer it, whatever, yeah. So you rented a ship, and it sank halfway through the trip, and we're talking about, as the Gemara is going to say, why are you renting a ship? You're going to be transporting something with it. Specifically, it was very common in those days, you would be transporting wine with the ship. So, Rav Nosson, im Nosson lo yuto, vim lo Nosson lo yuto. Rav Nosson says, if you already prepaid the rental amount, whether some of it or all of it, then you cannot get it back. The imloy nasan, but if you didn't give it yet, lo yitin, then you don't have to give it. So the question is, hey chidami, what's the scenario over here? Now, just like we talked before about chamur, that there could be chamur stammer, there could be chamur zeh, you have a similar distinction when it comes to this case of a ship. And in fact, because we have two things involved, there's a ship and there's wine, you have two possibilities. There can be, I'm renting you this ship versus I'm renting you a ship. And there can be, I'm going to use it to transport this particular shipment of wine versus a shipment of wine. So let's figure out. Elaim of the Sfina Zubayayin Stam, if you're going to say that the owner of the ship said, I'm renting you this ship, and the other guy said, I'm going to use it to transport a shipment of wine, Im Nosson Amai Lo Yitzel. So why are we saying that if he paid his rental fee, he's not allowed to get it back now that the ship sank? And his wine sank with it also. Namely, if he says this ship, but any wine, then why is Rav Nosson saying that if you paid the rental already, if you already paid the rental amount, you're not able to get it back? Why ever not? Namely, let the owner of the wine say to the owner of the ship, Havli Sfinta, look, you said Sfinta, I said Yain Stam. So fine, Havli Sfinta, give me another ship, Dano my Sina Chamra. I will get another shipment of wine and ship it. Because after all, I didn't say specifically this wine, any wine. So then in that case, I can still hold up my end of the bargain. If you can't, give me back my money.
He has to provide the ship because he said this.
Because he said this ship, but the other guy said Yain Stam. So yayin stam implies, in other words, whatever wine I have to transport, I expect to be able to take on this ship. Well, this ship has sank, then you're responsible to get me another one, just like we said before about Hamurzu, that if you can use the value of the old Hamur to get a new one, this is somewhat similar to that. I can transport any yayin on it. That was part of the rental agreement. So in that case, I have other yayin available. You get me another ship. If you can't, refund me my money. So you're going to say it's the other way around. He said, I'll give you any ship, and the person says, I'm going to transport this particular shipment of wine. Then, you can ask, okay, why should he not have to pay the rental fee after the fact? Namely, then the owner of the ship has the same kind of argument the other way around. Havli havu chamra, fine, you get me back that wine, v'amnamai sinas sfinta, I will get a ship for you. You don't have that wine because it sank, not my problem. And even you didn't pay the rental yet, you need to pay it now. I can hold up my end of the bargain, I can get another ship. Your wine is gone. That's not my problem. Amar Papa, lemeshkacha fa elav sfina du v'yayin zeh. You're right, the Papa says. Then the only way we could make Rav Nosson didn't work is if he said, I want to use this, I want to rent this. He says, I'm renting to you this ship. And the other guy says, I'm going to use it to transport this wine. So now neither one of them. Is able to fulfill the deal because this ship is gone and this wine is gone. Therefore, we say yad teveya ala tachtayna. Whichever one is making the claim for the money is the one who has the worst outcome. So if he didn't pay yet, then it's the owner of the ship who's claiming the money.
The claimant.
Right. So if he hadn't paid yet, the owner of the ship is the one who's claiming the money, and therefore the owner of the wine is able to say, well, you can't hold up your end of the bargain. You don't have spinazu, so therefore you lose out. And vice versa, if he already paid, then the other guy can say, well, you don't have yayinzu either, so therefore it's not my problem. Ava, the spina stam, the yayin stam choken. But what would happen if he just said a ship and he said just wine without specifying which ship and which wine, then choken, then we would say that you divide, each one of them gets half of the amount of the money. So whatever the rental amount was supposed to be, they split it. Each one has to pay half of it and not the other half. Because both of them have the ability to redo it. The one has the ability to get a new ship. The other one has the ability to get new wine because of the skin of stam and yain stam. If either one of them doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, fine. Then therefore he's forfeiting his half, basically. Okay. So we'll continue with more cases of ships tomorrow.
Where are we going?